year.
Happy New Year.
How many people excited about the new year? Well, so you probably noticed Pastor Kevin and Carla not here today. So they're going to Disney World with their family today, and their flight was supposed to be this afternoon, and the airline moved the flight up, back, whatever, several hours, and so it was like 9:30 this morning. So they're flying right now, or probably maybe getting there right now, to Orlando and going to Disney World for a week. So they'll be back for next Sunday, but we certainly miss them. But our worship team, under their leadership, just did a phenomenal job once again leading us in the time of worship. You notice how when the worship team's the standout of the week, that announcement is much longer because Jason, the drummer's the voice, and Carla wrote it, so say a lot more about it. But they're worthy of the time, and so we love them and thank them for all they do. Well, let's get right into the word. Hold up your Bibles and let's make our proclamation as we do every Sunday morning. Here it is. I want to hear you say it. Here we go.
This is the word of God.
This is God speaking to me today.
Amen.
Starting about 8 years ago, the beginning of every year, I would take a time of fasting just for myself. And I did this because I was seeking a word from the Lord, you know, direction from the Lord for our church and so on. And so I began to invite the church year after year to, hey, if you guys want to join me, never really kind of push the issue, but just would say, hey, some of you want to join me, and a few people would get on board with it. But most people can be fasting 21 days, and they're like, that's for you. You're a pastor. You do that. That's not for me. And so this year, as we started the new year, I was going to start my new message series today entitled, How Beautiful Are Your Feet?
Ooh.
I know, right? You got pretty feet. But I thought, you know what? What if I did an entire teaching about fasting and what it is and why we do it and so on? And I thought, this might be a good idea. So I prepared this week, and the Lord has been good and gave me a great word for today. And so I want to share that with you as to why we fast. The title of the message today is, What's the Point? Because most people think, fasting, what's the point? God loves me. He listens to my prayers anyway. I like to eat, so what's the point? I've thought that many times myself. God, do I really need to fast to get a word, you know? And so again, I would fast because I wanted to hear God, or I wanted to hear him louder or more clearly about his direction for my life for the coming year. So let me take you back 2 years to January 2018. I stood up on our platform that day, and I announced the fast, and I said this year it was the year of breakthrough for our church. And I said, in this year of breakthrough, I am praying and I'm fasting about God providing us a new facility.
Hello.
You're sitting here, right? So you want something big to happen in your life in 2021?
Yes.
I'm about to give you the keys to unlocking your breakthrough.
Yes.
So again, sometimes I pray for a specific thing. Sometimes not so specific. This year, I only have a specific thing. God's gave me a direction for the year, and I know where we're going. But I always want to hear the Lord. I always want to draw closer to him. Anybody so close to God, you don't need to get closer. If you raise your hand, I'm coming to live at your house. I want that anointing to fall on me. Because I love the Lord, and I seek him every day, every moment of every day. But I want you to know, I can still be closer. Because I don't look like Jesus yet. In any way, shape, or form. If I had that long hair, maybe. We could get to heaven. Jesus is going to be bald like me. He'll be like, dang, Pastor Eddie was close to Jesus. So let me ask a question. Do any of you in this place or watching us online need a move of God in 2021 in your life? Like, anybody need God to move? Let me ask you, keep your hands up. Those of you who need a move of God. Now, for those of you who have a problem, but you don't have an answer. Anybody got a problem you're facing? Small, big, and in between, whatever it is. You got a problem, but you don't have an answer. You just need God. You need an answer from the Lord. Raise your hand. The rest of y'all. Somebody like this, right? All right, you put your hands down. Let me give you a few misnomers first about fasting, because people get tripped up about why, you know, and what's the result going to be and stuff like that. So let me share a few things with you. Number one, fasting is not easy. So if you've never fasted before, you're not going to set out today, you know, Pastor already said I should fast. I'm fasting the whole week. I'm not going to eat. Listen to me. You ain't going to make it. I have the strongest will of most human beings in the place, but I promise you, you won't make it. The hunger pangs are going to get so intense over the next couple of days that you're going to break down and run to the refrigerator or the pantry. You're going to be mowing down some cookies or something just to get it to go away. The first time the Lord ever called me to fast, I was only a believer about a year, and the Lord said, he was calling me to fast. But he called me to a week-long, 1 week, seven-day fast of no eating. Only thing I drank that week was water or juice. Let me get real with you. That was the most intense week of my life. Like, it was like being on a rock and roller coaster without food. I mean, like, it was crazy. Hunger pains, the first 3 days were so intense that I thought, I don't know if I can make it. And all of a sudden, I woke up day four, no hunger. I did it. Because, you know, physiologically, your body can go about 40 days, can go 40 days without eating food at all. It's the way God wired you. But you got to have water. You can't live without water. You can't live but about 3 days without getting water. So drink, whatever kind of fast you decide to do, drink water, stay hydrated. It will help, and also helps with the hunger pains. Fasting is not easy. Number two, fasting does not move God's hand automatically. Well, I fasted. I expect to see this miracle I've been praying for, been seeking God for. I expect it because I fasted for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. It's not automatic. Okay? God's not obligated to do anything because you fast. Let me ask this. How many parents in the house? Show me your hand if you're a parent. Let me ask you out loud. Do you give your kids everything they ask for? Because that would be foolish. When your nine-year-old says, Mom, Dad, can I get a Corvette for Christmas? Not an electric one, a real one. You go, are you out of your mind? You can't even drive an electric one, much less one with a big V8 in it. You're going to kill yourself and many other people along. No, that would be foolish of me to do that. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. And if you don't need a Corvette today, He ain't giving you one. I am praying for a Corvette. I'm just kidding. Number three, fasting is not the answer to everything wrong in your life. I've heard people say and believe just because they fast that all my prayers during this fast are going to be answered. Listen, that's not going to happen. It's not the truth. That's nowhere in the Bible, right? So again, it's not the answer to everything wrong in your life. Number four, you will not die from not eating for a few days. Now, my son Michael, when he was little, would be in the car, I'm starving, I'm going to die. Listen, son, I promise you, you haven't eaten in 2 hours. I promise you, you're not going to die. But according to those hunger pains, you make you feel like you're going to die. Now, I'm not suggesting any of you, if you've never fasted before, leave this place and set out to do 21 days with no eating. I'm saying moderation is the key. So if you've never fasted before, how about this? We'll take it a step. You skip a meal a day, or you skip two meals and just eat dinner or something like that. I had a lady this morning say, well, I'm a diabetic. I can't not eat because of my insulin levels and so on. And I don't know much about that to tell her otherwise. I said, why don't you do this? Fast from TV or social media. There's a whole lot of things you could give up, right? Yes. So don't shout it out loud, but what's the stronghold in your life? Only know. Food is mine. Food is mine. Food, my wife's father used to eat because he had to live, because he knew he needed to eat to live. I eat because that's living, right? I eat because it's a hobby. It's fun. I enjoy it, as you can tell. So whatever you decide to do, moderation is the key. Fruits and vegetables or whatever it is that you do, just do it, but commit to it for the 21 days and watch what God will do in your life, okay?
Amen.
All right, turn if you would to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now we're going to study one of my favorite kings of the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat. How many of you know Jehoshaphat? Isn't he a great king? He actually was a very good king. And we're going to study the story of Jehoshaphat on the subject of fasting. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1, this is what it says. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Munites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some of the people came and told Jehoshaphat, and a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea, and it's already at Hazion Tamar, that is in Gedi. Look at verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. So he was king of Judah. He asked the people of Judah, hey, will you guys join me in a fast? We need to hear from God. I'm asking you, the church called New Beginnings, the people of God, those hearing me, will you join me in a fast so that we can hear from God together, right? All right. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came out of Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us? By coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. Here it is. This is for you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. He's the son of a whole bunch of people, is what he said. He's a Levite, a descendant of Asaph. He stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. This is what the Lord says to you, ladies and gentlemen of New Beginnings Church, those here and those watching us online. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Because of this vast army. Because of the problem you face. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up the pass at Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Juriel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem, people of New Beginnings Church. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. And here it is, and the Lord will be with you. Now, Jehoshaphat, he was the fourth king of Judah and became one of the country's most successful rulers because of one simple reason. He followed the commands of God. He listened to God. He did what God instructed him to do. Not what the world was wanting him to do. Not what the people wanted him to do. Not what the popularity opinion thought he should do. But only what God said he should do. As a matter of fact, when he became king, they were worshiping idols and other things in that land. He destroyed those things. Got rid of those things. Turned the people's hearts back to God. In this passage, we read that Jehoshaphat had a problem, and he sought an answer from God. So he called a fast for all the people. And I want you to understand that even today, sometimes fasting is going to provide you with the key to the answers that you seek. Anybody need a set of keys?
Yes. Yes.
So again, what's the point, Pastor Eddie? I'm still not ready to fast. I'm still not going to deprive myself of food and nutrients for the next 21 days. I don't get it. What's the point? I'm going to give you six reasons. Now, these six reasons are not the only six reasons, but these are six reasons from the story of Jehoshaphat that I believe are appropriate and are necessary for us to consider as we think about fasting as a church and as a people.
Yes.
What's the point? Six reasons to fast. Number one, you have a problem, but you don't have an answer. How many times you have a problem and you don't have the answer? So what do? You pick up the phone, you start calling people. Guess what happened? And you begin to tell others about your problem. But that's not what Jehoshaphat did. In verse 3, it says, alarmed, my problem was these armies are coming against me. I got a problem. I don't know what to do. Jehoshaphat does this. He resolved to inquire of the Lord. He didn't call his advisors. Come on in. Let's chat. Let's have a meeting. Let's develop a strategy. Let's talk this over. Let's try to figure this out. What are we going to do? Do we have any friends who have some armies we can call? Let's inquire of the Lord. And this is what he did. I'm not just going to inquire. We're going to proclaim a fast. We're going to make a sacrifice to God. We're going to watch God move on our behalf. We need to hear from God. I got a problem. I don't have an answer. You know, alarmed is a good reason to call on God.
Yes.
Now, think with me for a minute. What's better? To call all my friends with my problem, who have limited resources and limited knowledge and limited understanding, or to call on God, who has unlimited resources, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited understanding? See, when I say it, it makes perfect sense, but yet we resort to picking up the phone and calling, texting somebody. What are we calling our night of prayer? First response. That just didn't happen by coincidence, you understand? See, the reason I believe is that the reason we call our friends is we want our friends to sympathize, to get on our bandwagon, to let us expound upon our pity party. Will you join me in my pity party? Because we really don't want to hear the truth. You know the old saying, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
But the truth is what we need. The Bible says that the truth is what sets us free. So even if I don't like the answer, I still want to seek the answer because only God's answer is going to set me free ultimately.
Right.
Jehoshaphat had a major problem and he needed an answer. So let me encourage you today. If you have a problem, you don't have an answer, fasting could be the resource to get you the answer you're looking for.
Right.
Coupled with prayers, you'll see in a moment. Reason number one, what's the point? Reason number one, you have a problem, you don't have an answer. Number two, you need to understand God's plan. You've all heard the saying, when something's going on in your life, one of your godly friends will say, don't worry, God's got a plan. You don't want to hear that when things are going wrong.
Right.
I want you to know, I bet you none of Jehoshaphat's friends said, Joe, don't worry, God's got a plan. Joe wasn't even going to inquire. He went straight to God. He was alarmed. He went to God. God, I need to inquire of the Lord. I need to inquire of you. I need to inquire of you. I need to inquire of the Lord. I need to understand God's plan. Alarmed, he resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. When things are going crazy around you, and you're not sure of what to make of things happening in your life, as a child of God, seek the God of the plan. You know, you can't get the plan till you seek the God of the plan.
That's right.
He said, well, if he's got a plan, I wish he would let me in on it. Why is he keeping it secret? I want you to know, God is not this mean God in heaven going, I got a plan, but I'm just not going to tell him. See, the Bible tells us that when we seek God with all our heart, we will find Him. If you want to understand God's plan for your life, then quit looking around and start looking up. Start seeking the God of the plan and you'll get the plan. Then don't get me wrong, He may not give you the whole thing because you really can't handle it. 20 years ago, had God said, here's the plan for your for the next 20 years of your life, I'd have ran in the other direction. I'd be like, Noah, quit. I'm done before I start. Right? Seek God for the plan. You need to understand His plan. Number three, sometimes we must reaffirm the authority and lordship of Jesus in our life. Look what he does. Look what Jehoshaphat does in verses 5 and 6. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. That's what he said. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. So in this prayer, Jehoshaphat has just put Jesus on the throne of his life. You know, sometimes we take the throne of our life. We think we're smart enough. We're knowledgeable enough. We're wise enough. I could do this. I don't need to consult God on this. But you know what? We need to understand that we should consult God on everything. And when we begin to consult God on everything, we're reminding ourselves who's in charge. He really becomes Lord, you see? See, many times we come to Christ and we profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. I do that. Lord and Savior. Because He really ain't Lord. He might be Savior, but He's not Lord because you're still in charge. Long as you're in charge, He's not in charge. You know, I've learned this about the Lord. He doesn't take charge unless you give Him charge. Now, He could. He could just say, I'm in charge, sit down, shut up. Which is what, if I was God, that's what I would do. That's why I'm not God, right? Because you wouldn't like the way I deal with you. But besides reminding ourselves who He is, we're also reminding the enemies, those coming against us, who it is we serve and who it is we belong to. Oh, listen. So I've just put you on the throne of my life, and as I put you on the throne of my life, I've reminded all those coming against me, this is my big brother. My big brother's name is Jesus. You don't want to mess with him. He's a bad dude, right? So we just reminded others that, and we also, when we fast, we put our flesh on notice. See, that's what I have to do every year, put my flesh on notice. My flesh needs notice. My flesh is like a ravenous maniac. Yes. Yes. Nope, you ain't eating for 21 days, and you're going to be glad about it.
Yes.
I just reaffirmed the authority and lordship of Jesus in my life. Number four reason is we have to remind ourselves and others of what we've witnessed in the past. Look at verses 6 and 7. Are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of nations. Power and might are in your hands, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? In other words, Jehoshaphat is reminding himself, as he's talking to God, he's reminding himself of what he's already witnessed God do. You know, sometimes in my own life, as I step out to do something else for God, I have to go back and remember all the things I've already witnessed, because those things I've already witnessed empower me to trust Him again. Now, if you have not been walking with God very long and you don't have a plethora of stories behind you, you could begin to look around at some of your Christian friends. What have you seen or heard God do in their lives? And if you got friends that ain't maybe not close to God, then go to the Bible. The Bible is full of stories like this one of people who trusted God and watched God do amazing things in their lives. And listen, and as you begin to trust because you relied on those stories or on those stories, then those stories will begin to happen in your life. And pretty soon you won't need to rely on anybody's stories. You have your own stories. And you'll be able to go and draw from your own well of history and say, look, I remember when I was stepping out after I sold my business and I stepped out and I had no income, and I watched you do this and I watched you do that and I watched you do this. And God, I know you're going to do it again. You've heard me say before, Psalm 37, I think, verse 5. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. Listen, that's because that the person writing that was saying historically, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I can go back and say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. God, I've trusted you in the past and I can trust you again. Reason number four, remind yourself and others what you've witnessed God do in the past. Number five, for results, couple your fasting with prayer. Now you notice I didn't say couple your prayer with fasting. I said couple your fasting with prayer. Because I've heard people say, well, I fasted and nothing happened. I denied myself food for 3 days. Well, tell me about your prayer life doing. Oh, I didn't really pray. So you had the key, but you didn't have the connection. See, it's not one or the other. It's both. It's and. Both and, you see? And so when we couple those two together, we unlock an incredible tool in our lives to hear from God and watch God do things he's never done before. Couple. Look what he says in verse 9. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. In other words, God, we know you answer our prayers, but now here are men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came out of Egypt, so they turned away from them, did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. This is a prayer. And God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. Here it is. But our eyes are on you. When you fast and when you pray, your eyes can't be anywhere else. Your reliance comes upon God and God only. You begin to understand, like Jesus said in the wilderness, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't need physical food. I need a word from the Lord. Yes. Couple your fasting with prayer. Number six, last but not least. You're in need of a victory, but you don't have a strategy. 2 Chronicles 20:14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel. It's a prophet. He was a Levite, a descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. People of New Beginnings Church, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this thing that is coming against you, because of this thing that you face today. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of anything. Because what did he say? The battle is not yours, but God's. Listen, and God is saying to you today, I got this. Will you just empower me to go fight your battle? Quit trying to do it on your own. I want to do it for you. He'll let you go do it if you want to do it. And he'll stand there watching. I'm right here. The most powerful force in the universe is standing there like this. His arms folded. He's on the bench waiting for you to put him in. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach, and you're going to win. I hate to admit this, but I felt it was necessary at this time. I'm kind of a big picture person. I'm not detail oriented. I don't write lists and notes and stuff. I just don't do it. I went to college, never took a note. I'd come home from college, my wife would say, how was your class today? Good. Oh, did you take a lot of notes? No. Eddie, how are you gonna pass? How are you gonna pass? I was listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did really good in school too.
Yeah, yeah.
Just people learn differently. But anyway, big picture, guys. So when I started New Beginnings 10 and a half years ago, I didn't have a strategy. But I had a word from God. You know, if you don't have a strategy, I just gave you a strategy. You just need a word from the Lord. But if you get a word from the Lord, That's the only strategy you ever need.
Because
people probably looked at me and said, you don't have a plan? Not really. I got a plan, following Jesus. And it sounds cliche and it sounds kind of dumb and it sounds like an excuse for not having a plan. I didn't need a plan because I got the God of the plan and I follow him. And if I follow him, he'll lead me exactly to where I'm supposed to be and when I'm supposed to be there. Look what he said. This battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down. They'll be climbing up the pass at Ziz. You'll find them at the gorge in the desert of Juriel. You'll not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. In other words, go and pretend like you're about to fight. Stand firm, armed, ready for battle. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Just stand there, ready to go. And go out and face them. And the Lord will be with you. Now, somebody in here needed to hear that. That when you go face that battle that you're going to face tomorrow, listen to me. The Lord will be with you. You're not going to do it by yourself. And the Lord says, if you just empower me in your life, make me Lord and Savior. Trust me. Rely on me. What did he say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In, here it is, all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. It's not my battle to begin with. God is going to fight for me. I'm feeling weak and defeated, and the most powerful force in the universe stands ready to fight my battles on my behalf. He is my battle plan. Amen. Your strategy for victory starts and ends with you. Here it is, resting in Christ. You see, we don't need a strategy since we have a relationship with Jesus. The only strategy I've ever had and ever will have is relying on and trusting in Jesus to lead me. And as long as we're doing that, we'll be headed in the right direction. Reason number 6, I need a victory, but I don't have a strategy. Listen, 6 reasons for you to fast. Consider fasting this year. You have a problem, but you don't have an answer. You need to understand God's plan, because he's got one. You must reaffirm the authority and lordship of Jesus in your life. You do that when you fast. Remind yourself and others of what you've witnessed God do in the past. For results, couple your fasting with prayer. And then you're in need of a victory, but you don't have a strategy. Would you stand with me right where you are? For the next 21 days, starting, listen to me, please, all rise right here. Starting after lunch here at a moment, because I'm going to eat lunch. So when you see me in a restaurant, say, I thought you were fasting, you lied. My fast starts after lunch. And then on the 23rd, after church, I will eat again. Let's clarify right now. So you see me out, you're like, you're eating. Yes, I'm eating, because it's time to eat. If we will kick this thing off together, I believe that we will see a move of God like we've never seen a move of God before. And then, of course, tonight, we invite you back at 5:30 for a night of prayer. 5:30, 6:45, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for our country, some other things. We'll pray for you and your needs. We'll pray for the sick and so on. But we want you to invite you. If you say, hey, listen, I need a time of prayer. 5:30, 6:45 right here at the sanctuary, we're going to pray. Now, during this fast, I believe that we're going to see God do things in our lives we've never seen before and you've never witnessed before. And I'm asking you this morning, don't show me your hands. Who's ready? Don't show me your hands. Who's ready to join me in 21 days of fasting, seeking the heart of God for this church and for your lives? If that's you, I want to ask you to join me here at the altar, and I want to pray for God to empower you to make it through this 21 days. Because like I said, fasting's not easy, but it's doable. How many of you have gotten our new band for 2021? How many of you have one? If you haven't gotten one, they're right here in the front. You get one on your way out. Remember, this is the year of each one, reach one. So your band says, reach one, 2021. The call, the mandate that God has on our church for 2021 is to evangelize the world around us, to reach one for Christ. That's your job this year, reach one. And if we all just reach one, we help grow the kingdom. Amen? Raise your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for your calling. This calling to follow you to a deeper relationship. This calling to follow you into greater things this year in 2021. God, many of us are glad 2020 has ended. But God, we want to see greater things in 2021 than we've ever witnessed before in the lives of your people. And God, I pray for a spirit empowerment right now, an outpouring of your spirit upon your people so that they may go and do what you've called them to go and do. I pray for a supernatural strength to make it through this 21 days. And I pray, God, for them to be able to go 40 if they decide to do that. But God, whatever it is that you call them to, I know that you'll give them the power to go through it. We praise you and thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.